All right, so I would say stay awake. All
and if
right?
you run out, I got
Don't
plenty
get
more.
Settled out, settled out there, okay? All right, let's turn to 183 in your red book, Faith of Our Fathers. Okay, thank you. Got that ammunition ready, amen. Stand, 183, first, second, last.
Faith of my fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and the sword. Oh, how I heart tonight with joy, keeping me near the glorious word. Faith of my
congregation, prayer requests, anyone at all, anybody in the choir? Unspoken request, raised hand, God knows all about it, thank God he does. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bill, you pray for us, please. Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir.
Choir number 78. When he put a little sunshine into my heart, number 78.
Sunshine in all the clouds have seen.
Verse 3, verse 5.
choir, for that singing today. Let's take our red book. We're going to have our fellowship time, 453. 453. We'll sing the first and the second. Then we'll go fellowship and come back on the last. 453. He keeps me singing as we stand.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am guilty, peace be still, and our love will stand and flow. Jesus, 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 sweet is say my Lord, fills my every lonely. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. It's what filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken string, turned the sunburned voice again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know.
All right, let's take some time in fellowship this morning.
I think it's better than that at the church. grace today. Grace today.
All right, I told Brother Buddy I was kind of sorry to break up the fellowship, but we better go ahead and sing, hadn't we? All right, last verse.
Soon he's coming back to welcome me. Far beyond the starry skies, I shall bring my light to worlds unknown. I shall bring him on high. So Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Should be seated. Thank you for that good singing. I'm surprised some of you could sing that well after all that breakfast, Jake. Isn't that good? You notice I said y'all, didn't I? Yes, you better. Somebody moved the books.
I got plenty over here, preacher.
Okay, we're going to need them, I'm telling you.
Just tell me which direction to throw.
Now, if some of you had chocolate donuts I'm holding out, you really will stay awake for that, all that caffeine and sugar. So I'm a watching Brother Bill over here. I'm going to watch him, see how long he lasts.
Won't be long.
All right. Good job. Well, normally what we do for our mothers on Mother's Day is we give flowers and things like that. We find out oldest and youngest and sweetest and most cantankerous. And anyway, you missed that one, didn't you?
I got it.
We're going to make it short, sweet, and to the point today. I decided what we're going to do is we're just going to give the men, whether you're a father or not, we're going to give you a little card to McDonald's for $5. All right? And let you get a little something. Brother Buddy can keep his coffee fix going, and he'll be a happy camper. And if you're good, you might be able to get your wife a dollar McDouble over there and all that good stuff. Okay, so Brother Julius, come on up here and help me out. All right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a receipt because I know sometimes these cards don't work. So if your card doesn't work, you'll have a receipt to say it's paid for. Okay? That's right. I can teach it. I can't speech it. All right. Let's start with, let's start. We're going to go to the back, work our way to the front here, Brother Julius. And let's take, this is, we'll give you one for Brother Cox back there as a visitor. Hang on. Let me let you save some steps here. And, well, no, yeah, you're funny. And then that one's for Mikey, and this one will be for Johnny. Well, I know, but Brother Julius said he needs the exercise, so I'm helping him. Got one here for Brother Bill and Brother Will. Let you give those. And got one for you. Let's see. And Brother Buddy. Okay. Now I'm going to have to take that verse that says, "Oh, ye of little faith," because I didn't expect us to have this many dads and men here. And so I am pleasantly happy and surprised. So Jason and I, maybe we'll do something later. But anyway, I want everybody to have one and enjoy it and say thank you. I appreciate the men of our church. I really do. I want to say that I appreciate especially Brother Bill and Brother Buddy, who serve on our advisory council. These men have just always been a blessing to me in the 3 years that I've been here. And I appreciate that. Not many churches can say that they have deacons or trustees that are a blessing. I have to be honest with you. Doesn't always happen. But I appreciate these men especially and their spirit of wanting to see the church go on and go for God. So I appreciate these men. I appreciate all the men here today. Thank you for just being in the house of God today. And I appreciate you doing that and pray that you will have a great Father's Day. And that the Lord will bless you real good, okay? All right, let's go ahead and ask our sister to sing for us today.
Before I sing this morning, I couldn't find a Father's Day poem today. So I just want to speak a little bit about what my dad meant to me. I can remember as a little child, when we lived up on Parker Road, how he began to dig out the dirt out from under the house because he wanted a place to pray. We didn't have a basement, so he would take his time on Saturdays when he was home from work, and bucket by bucket, shovelful by shovelful, he dug that basement out. And when he got it deep enough to have him a little workplace and a place to pray, he had it bricked in. Then when we moved up on Laramie Circle, he had a place built downstairs for his study. I can remember waking up on Saturday mornings, early Sunday mornings, hearing him pray. We knew when he went downstairs to study on Sunday afternoon not to bother him, not to disturb him. We knew to be quiet and play on our end of the house so that he could study for his messages. I can remember being the first kid on the street to have a skateboard because he took our skates apart and made all of us skateboards. I remember when he got my bicycle. I wasn't even tall enough to be able to reach the pedals sitting on the seat, so I had to just pedal it standing up. And I remember when I lost my son, how he came to the room to comfort me and tell me that it was much better for him to go that way than for us to have loved him for 3 or 4 months and then God take him. And he never let me use the word can't. That wasn't in his vocabulary and it wasn't in mine. And if I told him I couldn't do something, he said, yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. And this morning I'm going to do a song that he and I sang together. If I can get through it. He loved this song. And this is not the one that Buddy thinks I was going to sing because God changed my mind. But he and I sang this together. And while I'm singing it, I can almost believe that he's singing it with me in heaven. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. When all is changed, when Jesus comes to stay, from home and friends, the evil spirits drove him among the tombs. He dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed When Jesus comes to stay, their hearts were sad as in the tomb they laid him, for death had come and taken him away. Their night was dark and bitter tears were falling. Then Jesus came and night was turned to day. So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Right. So we're going to have our penny offering. Sister, you want to just stay there and play for us? And got things a little mixed up there, so I said, we better do that, hadn't we? Got to do that. So we got our young people all, got a bunch of young people here to help us. And I hope you got some change. So if you'll reach in and start digging, and we'll get the jug down here. Several young people to help us see if All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter 15, please. And our young people are going down to junior church. Pray for the folks as they're working with them this morning. While you're turning there, on the back bulletin board is a large poster. I have a small one here, beginning tomorrow night. Tent meeting. Right down the road here, across the street from the Spirit gas station. And y'all know where that is. These folks didn't. They put the same thing here. It said directions. Highway 58 east of Danville, 1 mile past airport on the right. One of the posters does say across from Spirit gas station. So y'all know all that good stuff. So anyway, Wednesday night, we'll be moving prayer meeting over there, so those of you that are able to. Of course, the meeting starts tomorrow night at 7 o'clock each night, be Monday through Friday. Go any night that you can, but prayer time, Bible study, our midweek service will be over there on Wednesday, so keep that in mind, please. I think you'll enjoy it. They have some good tent meetings. They did one in, I've been to one several times they have up in Henry County, where we live. And then we went last year, they had one in Patrick County that was very good. This is the first one they're doing here in Pennsylvania County. And so pray for the crusade. And usually they'll have somebody get, some people get saved during their tent meeting. So we pray that'll certainly be true in this crusade. So keep that in mind, please, and be in prayer for it. Genesis chapter 15. This morning, the Sunday school hour, I taught a lesson briefly on the subject of a father's wrong decision and used the life of Lot to show how that you make one bad decision, you can steamroll the rest of your life into tragedy. Well, what do you do when you make right decisions? Well, Abraham, or as we still see him as Abram, shows us examples of how a person can make right decisions and be blessed by making right decisions. God honors right decisions. Okay? Now, let's begin reading with verse 1. It says, in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my name is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." We'll stop there and then we'll pray and make a few comments this morning. Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the good number. Thank you for the men that are here. We pray that you will raise up men out of this church and around Pennsylvania County and around the world, Lord, that will serve Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll help us and show us some great and mighty things which we know not, according to Jeremiah 33:3. And we'll thank you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you'll look over just for a moment, a couple of chapters. Chapter 17, verse 1 says this, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine." At 99, he still hadn't had a baby. Now, chapter 16, I spoke from that on Mother's Day a month ago. And I talked about how that Abram took matters into his own hands. And when you do that, you're asking for trouble. You need to let God work things out. You need to let God take care of things. Be careful, because it's too easy to do what I want to do. Because for one thing, I'm a very, and I use the word I generically. I think it fits all of us. We are by nature very, very impatient. We want everything done yesterday. Okay? God does not work that way. Because it takes approximately 25 years for this process to actually take place between the first promise and the actual birth of Isaac. Okay? Matter of fact, when you leave chapter 16, where you have the story of Hagar and Ishmael, you have a gap of 13 years between chapter 16 and chapter 17. Now, how do you have a child at 99 years of age and your wife is 89 years of age? When you get over here in chapter 15 that I read in your hearing, Abram has some tremendous concerns, and well, he should. Because he's followed the Lord, he's been obedient, he's tried to do what's right. And you have been obedient, and you have tried to do what's right. But does there come a time in your life where sometimes you question what's going on? I know a fellow named John the Baptist who preached and even pointed out Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and said to follow him, but then John goes to prison and his life is threatened, and then he says to some of his followers, "Go find out. Is he the Christ?" Some people argue that John the Baptist was just doing that to reaffirm in the minds of his followers. But there's also a good chance, though, that when you're behind the bars of a prison, you might have some doubts yourself, because it's like, hey, do I deserve this? There are a lot of things in the Bible that I read about that Christian people, if I may use that terminology, in talking about Old and New Testament saints, it's interesting that people that are believers go through a lot of things that it seems like they shouldn't have to go through. A fellow named Joseph. Joseph was set up. He, as you know, was sold into slavery by his brothers. Isn't that something? That's one. Isn't that a way for your brothers to treat you? They were jealous of him. What did he do? All he did was brag. That'll get you in trouble. He's telling a dream, and he said, "Oh, this is my dream, and you are all sheaves of wheat, and you bowed down to me." Boy, they didn't like that. Those brothers were proud and strong, and it's like, we're not bowing down to anybody, much less you punk. And so you know the story. They sold him, and they took. He was taken into Egypt, and he was taken and put into slavery, and he was put into the house of a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar had a wife, and that wife looked upon Joseph. And Joseph must have been a very attractive young man, because she tried to lie with him. She propositioned him. And because he decided to do right, he paid the price. She lied and said, "He tried to rape me." He was put in jail, put in prison. How long did he stay in prison? The Bible says he stayed in prison 2 years. 2 years out of your life. That's easy to read that, but what if you had 2 years out of your life taken away? He looked at that situation, and you know the story. I won't go any farther, because God took and exalted Joseph, but look at what Joseph went through to get from point A to point B. And there are things in the life of believers in which we look and we say, this is not what I signed up for. Things Things ought to be better than this. Things ought to be easier than this. Things ought to be dot, dot, dot. And I wish I could tell you that everything that goes on in a Christian's life, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand when there are people that are good people, they love God, they serve the Lord, they pray, they're faithful to church, and then something happens and they come down with cancer. And then they live to be not even very old. But then there are people that are mean as the devil, lost, would cheat you, steal from you, and probably shoot you if they got the chance, live to be 80 and 90 years old. And my answer to that is I have no answer. I just know this is not the way that Abram thought it was going to be, because Abram might have said, you know, I left Ur of the Chaldees. I was a successful businessman. Understand, Abram was never a preacher. He was not a prophet, as you and I understand that word. He was a businessman. Because he took with him wealth and riches when he left. And God said, you're going to a city whose builder and maker is God. And so he goes on the road and he takes off. And there's got to be times where he's going through difficult. I preached last Sunday morning on the war that he and his people, his men went through. 30 some odd men that went had been trained to fight and trained to farm and to be trained in faith. And then what happened? You know, they went to war to try to save Lot from being abducted by enemy nations when Lot was in Sodom. Now after all of that, we come here to this chapter, and now we find here's a man, Abram, who probably just kind of sits down after a while and said, Lord, I don't think I can handle this anymore. This thing's pretty tough. And said, chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. Don't you wish sometimes God just comes to talk to you for a while, one-on-one, and tell you some things? I do. I'd love it. I'd love to just sit down and say, now God, if you come down and talk to me verbally, I'll sit here. I'll keep my mouth shut. I won't say anything if you'll just talk to me. And I'll sit here as long as you want me to, Lord. I'll sit here 3 hours if I have to. I'll take notes, Lord. I'll be good, but just talk to me. But I read in the Bible. Did you know that piece of paper that goes between the Old and New Testament in your Bible? Do you know what that means? That means there was a period of time between Old and New Testament where God did not communicate with anybody for 400 years. They're called the 400 silent years, in which from the last verse of Malachi to the first verse of chapter 1 of Matthew, there is no communication. Wow. It's a long time. See, God's time, understand that God's time element's different from yours and mine. Didn't I say just a few moments ago that what we want is we want everything done yesterday? God does not work that way, because technically there is no yesterday with God. Remember when he talked to Moses from the burning bush, Moses said, who shall I say, you know, has sent me to Pharaoh and to Egypt to deliver the nation of Israel? What did God say? I am that I am hath sent thee. Not I was that I was. And not I shall be that I shall not be. Anything? I am. I am. When the soldiers came at the Garden of Gethsemane, if you remember, to take the Lord, they looked at him and asked if he was the Christ. Do you remember what he said? He said, I am. And when he said, I am, the glory of God caused those soldiers to fall backwards. He just said, I am. Huh. Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Understand that when you don't realize that there is in front of you a shield. When you start to cry out, Lord, where are you? I am thy shield. I am thy great and exceeding reward. And he's concerned because he said, Lord, I've been at this thing just like you told me to do, and I'm getting older, and my wife's getting older, and I don't know what else to do. And Lord, I got this servant by the name of Eleazar. Is he going to be my seed? Is he going to be the one that you've promised that's going to be taking us and doing all of these things about a promised land? Is he the one that's going to? Because I don't understand this thing, God, because my wife is not physically able to rear a child, and I'm getting older by the minute. Eliezer, remember I tell you about names. Names mean something in the Bible. You know what Eliezer means? Eliezer means God is my help. And he had to learn even from the word, from the name of his own brother, I'm sorry, his own servant, that God's got to be his help and his strength. And he gives in verse 4, he says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, talking about Eleazar, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Let me show you just quickly this morning four thoughts about this father making right decisions. When you make right decisions, there are some things that happen in this man's life. Number one, when you make a right decision, here's some things in this daddy's life. He's not a daddy yet, because his name is Abram. And I told you that the word Abram means exalted father. Well, he's not even a father yet. But then his name will be changed over in, I think, about the 17th chapter. And they'll change his name to Abraham. And Abraham means father of a multitude. Well, he hadn't even got the first one yet. He hadn't even got to Ishmael. Ishmael wasn't even in the will of God, so to speak. But he hadn't got Ishmael yet. But here he is. He's exalted father. How can you be an exalted father when you don't have any kids? When you have no descendants? Now, just an idea. When he talks about being father of a multitude, how will that transpire? From the loins of Abraham will come three nations. Number one will be the Jews under Isaac. Number two, the Arabs under Ishmael. And then Christians, or spiritual Jews, if you will. What a descendancy, because one man was faithful. Now, what did he learn? What did he discover about making right decisions? First of all, number one, he learned that there is no heirship without sonship. There is no heir. You know what an heir is? Hold your place there. Turn with me just for a moment. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There is no heirship without sonship. Chapter number 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're a child of God today. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody says, I'm a child of God, and I'm glad I'm a child of God because God don't make no junk. That's a good statement. We are children of God, verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay? So there's a promise of an heir. Has the heir come yet? No. And he can look all day long down the road, but there's going to be an heir. But who's the heir? Let's make it personal. It's going to be a son. I hear a lot of people talking about going to heaven. There's a lot. One old statement is this. I don't know if it's in a song, or I think it's in a song, an old song, but it's something like this. Not everybody that's talking about heaven gets to go there. Because you talk all day how beautiful heaven must be, and you can do all of that, and you can hope, and you can dream, but if you don't go through the Son of God, you're not going to heaven. There are people that talk about heaven, but understand that not everybody that talks about heaven is talking about the same heaven you and I are talking about in the Bible. Ever heard of the mystics and the Easterners and the Orientals who believe in Nirvana, which is their own idea for what heaven is like? The terrorists tell us that for those who die and give their lives, men have, what is it? How many virgins is it? 7 virgins or what is it? Something like that. I mean, give me a break. People got far off outlandish ideas. My Bible tells me something different about that. If I'm going to heaven, I've got to go by God's Son. He's the heir. He is the one, not by many heirs, not by many people, not by Muhammad, not by Buddha, not by any of these other mystical religions. It's only by Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And so it's very plain that the Bible tells us that there is no there's no heirship without sonship. There's got to be that. So he's thinking, well, I guess I'm going to be all right, because I guess Eleazar, he's the next one in line in my family. He's a servant, but I guess he's got... God said, no, this is coming straight out of your loins. This is your child. This is your seed. So he's learning a valuable lesson. We can look back and say with reverence and respect that we appreciate the memory of Abraham. And we look at Abraham, and because of the right decisions that Abraham... What if Abraham made bad decisions? What if Abraham did not do the right things? And we've studied his life in several chapters and seen that nothing else Abraham has done right. But what would happen to you and me had he not done right? You say, oh, God would have done something else, would he? If Abraham had not done right, would he have continued in the plan, or would he have exchanged it? I don't know that God is in the changing of a mind personality. God is firm to His Word. He trusted a man by the name of Abram who made right decisions and was going to do right. And guess what? God honored it. And I look at my life and your life, and I look at the nation of Israel, and I look at the Gentile believers who have gone and read the Bible and studied the Scriptures and have trusted Christ as Savior, and I think we've done well. But the only reason we've done well is by the grace of God, and the grace of God is evident in the life of one man who made a right decision. Just as there had to be a heirship and a sonship, we look back and we see that in Jesus Christ, and we are blessed. And he learned a lesson that day. Second thing he learned was not only is there no heirship without sonship, there's no righteousness without faith. Now, in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." If you'll look in chapter 15 of Genesis, that very verse is quoted in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, and it's given for us here in 15 of Genesis verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Do you understand how hard that thing is? That little word "believe" is tough. Do you believe? Now, I'm not talking about just with your head, because the Bible said in the book of James that the devils also believe and tremble. That doesn't mean demons are going to heaven. I can believe all day long that that bench, that pew is going to hold me, but if I don't sit on it, it's not going to do me any good. I must appropriate that belief, and I must put trust and faith in that belief and sit on it and understand that it's a reality. Here was a man that said, "Lord, I'm about tired. I'm give up. I'm ready to stop this thing, Lord, and I need you to just do tell me something." And he just said to him, he said, "You know," in verse 5, he said, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be." If you can take and if you can number the stars,
If you're able to look up into heaven and count the stars and get a perfectly numerical answer, then you will be able to tell me exactly how many your seed's going to be in Israel and also in Jewish, not only the Jews, but also the Gentile believers. You'll be able to tell me all of that if you can count the stars of the sky. And what did he say in verse 6? He didn't say, Lord, you're out of your mind. He didn't say, Lord, it's impossible. It says, and he believed, verse 6, and it was counted to him for righteousness. If you want to be righteous, there's only one way you can be righteous, and that is that you must have faith in God. Do what he's told you to do. Continue on no matter how tough it gets. Here's a father who said, I could stop right now if I wanted to. I could throw this thing down. I could go back to Ur of the Chaldees, but you know what? He didn't do it. What did he do? He believed God. He went on. He said, I'm too old. My wife's too old, but God said it, and I have no choice. I've got to believe it. I've gone this far. I can't stop now. Some of you have been on this, on the side of faith and grace and the blood of Jesus longer than you were in the world. But sometimes you're tempted to quit. Keep on. Don't stop. You got more on this side than you had on that side. Keep on. Keep on. Believe in the Lord, no matter how tough it gets, because your head says, don't believe it. But God's Word says, trust Him. You may sit there and you might say, well, Brother Moore, those are empty words. That's because you haven't been there yet. If you have not been challenged in your spirit to throw in the towel and give it up, you haven't gotten very deep in the Christian walk, friend. Somewhere down the line, the devil's going to have you in the right place where you're so tired, discouraged, fed up, exhausted, maybe even terrified and horrified. He'll come to you right then. He'll say, this thing's a joke. Shut up and get out. And it'll be by the grace of God you don't do it. Grace of God. He learned there is no heirship without sonship. He learned there is no righteousness without faith. Thirdly, he learned there is no assurance without promises. Have you ever had problems and wondered either about your salvation or again about the plan of God for your life? He did, because if you'll look in verses number 7 and 8, and he said unto him, I am the Lord God that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? You're talking a lot about inheritance. How am I supposed to know? I want to ask you a question. Do not take what I'm going to say wrongly or irreverently. I want you to think about the logical mindset of the world. As Teresa was singing, talking about, testifying about her and Miss Nancy's dad, we know from the Bible, Bible tells us that we are going to see our loved ones again. Has your mind ever come up with this idea and told you that you're nuts and there is no other side and there is no heaven and you never will see your loved ones again because they're dead and they're dead and they're dead? I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but I'd raise mine because I've been there. Devil say, what if you're wrong, stupid? What if you've sacrificed, given, done all that you've done, and in reality you could be doing something else and making tons of money doing something else than what you're doing right now? And if you haven't faced something similar to that, it will happen. Because that's pretty much where he is, 20 some years. And he's like, when's this thing going to happen? And it's going to happen when he is about 99 to 100 years of age, and she's going to give birth at 89 to 90 years of age, when she is past childbearing years. But God says, I'm going to work a miracle. And that's great, and we rejoice when the miracle takes place, but what about before the miracle takes place? That's when it gets dark. That's when you get to asking questions. That's when you need assurance. There's no assurance without promises. You know what you have to do? Only one thing you can do when the devil comes at you like that, you get that book out. Start reading promises. Get that pencil. Write down the promises. Get your highlighter. Highlight them in the Bible. Say, I sure don't know why God... I bet he didn't know. He didn't know. Why am I going through this? Why am I... We're past this thing. I'm too old a man to raise a child. But God did not ask his opinion. God said, do it by faith. What did he do? He gave him promises. Now let me tell you this. You say, I'm not real good at Bible study, preacher. I'm not good at reading my Bible. Then maybe you're going through a hard time because he's trying to drive you into the book. Well, I don't like to read. I found sometimes you don't have to read very long and God will give you what you need. If you need assurance, then you go to the book and the book will give you the promises and the strength to go. What did he say up in that first verse? What did the first thing God said to him? Fear not. Don't be afraid. That should have been enough. He still had needs, and he still had concerns, and he still had problems. What did he learn? What did this dad learn about making right decisions? He learned, number one, there's no heirship without sonship. There's no righteousness without faith. There's no assurance without promises. Last thing, there's no blessing without suffering. Now, I could go all day and not talk about that one. But let me say this, there was no Calvary without beatings. There was no burial without scourging. There was no resurrection. There was no suffering. And if you did not go through suffering, if I did not go through suffering, we would never appreciate the victory. Never. Because we would receive victory and not know that it was even victory if we had no suffering through which we had to endure. Now you might be here today and you may not understand a thing that I'm saying to you because your Christian walk has not advanced that far. You're still a kindergartner spiritually. But then something begins to happen and you begin to read and you begin to study and you begin to grow. And guess what? Now it's time to learn some lessons. And who's going to teach you the lessons? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because please understand something, if you do not understand anything else I'm saying today, God will not be disrespected. God will not be disrespected. You just can't go do what you want to do, the way you want to do it, the life you want to live, and then say, hey, I'm a Christian. My Bible says that the Lord thy God is a jealous God. Wouldn't it be something if one day we came into church and Brother Buddy said, "I just want everybody to pray because I have a girlfriend." We've been talking on the internet. She's come over to my house to visit me a few times. This Teresa doesn't know anything about it, but she does now. But here's the way I look at it. There's enough of me to go around for everybody. Miss Teresa would automatically speak up and say, "Preacher, funeral arrangements will be held." You know why? Rightly so. She should be a jealous wife. Because when she said, "I do," he was done. "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I love God, but I'm messing around with this and this and this." And God says, "Uh-uh." If human beings are jealous, why isn't God jealous? There's no blessing without suffering. And you'll never know the rich blessing of God and how sweet the goodness of God is until you go through some suffering. And that might sound cruel. I think it's a disgrace that America has gotten into the place that we are spiritually. I think it's a disgrace that in our schools they even bring up an argument about the Ten Commandments. I think it's a disgrace that Gideons can no longer go into public schools as they once did and give out New Testaments and Bibles. I think it's a disgrace to our nation that our president was not present in this country on the day of prayer. I think it's a disgrace to our nation that we are attacked as Christians when other groups are allowed all kinds of freedoms, but we are not allowed to have something as simple as prayer in our public schools anymore. It's a disgrace. May I say to you, God will not tolerate disrespect. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I know we moan and groan about our economy and the things. I want you to know God is so good to us. Because if God did to America what she deserves, we would be in abject poverty. Study the rest of the life of Abraham and God blessed that man. You know why? He chose to do right. And God, I haven't had a chance to go through. I wish I could go through this whole chapter and show you the rich things in this chapter, but we don't have time. I'm past time. He learned that the right decisions in your life will pay off. I said this last week and I will say it again. It bears repeating. Do right no matter what, because it's right to do right. And this man did right. God blessed him. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, please, and help us to understand two great truths. The truth this morning in the Sunday school hour that Lot made miserable decisions and it cost him seriously. Here's a man named Abram that made right decision on right decision and lived by faith and obeyed you, and you blessed him. And because you blessed him, we, even centuries ahead, are blessed also because of the righteousness and obedience of this good man, Abraham. Help us, Father. Help us who are fathers. Help us who are men. We have men here today that are not yet dads. Help them to understand that when you bless them and give them children, if that is your will, that you will account, you will hold accountable dads to do what's right in leading their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Those who are here today, Lord, that have children, may these dads fall on their faces. Oh God, fall on their faces and pray for their children. Lord, that their children may be brought up in the nurture and admonition of a holy God. That those children may be washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that their souls would not be delivered unto a horrible place called hell. God, give daddies a burden for spiritual things. A burden to be in the book. A burden to fall on their knees and petition God. Oh Lord, may it be so. For fathers who are here whose children are grown, may they be the intercessors. May they fall upon their knees and pray for their children until the day that they go into glory. And they pray that the protecting hand of God might be on their children, whether they be 4, 14, or 40. May you help us today. I pray, give us a burden and help us to live right and live godly in this present age. These things we beg in the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen.